Julie Herman at the center of massive chaos and a sexual harassment lawsuit at Louisville. So that's where we start here on America Tonight. The first thing that we look at is also having to do with what was chaos in Baltimore, a 15-car derailment in an industrial... is your worst nightmare is unfolding. What do you do? What do you do? You're in a car and the car falls off into the water. Phew. That's what some people were living. That is a nightmare. It's in a kind of rural area, but there were a lot of people that were going over because of the time of day. So no mass casualties, luckily, injuries so far, no. People pretty shook up. You know, the bridge is in the water, and crowds were swelling on the banks and trying to help people. To give you some perspective, to give you an idea, let me be the GPS for you. Think Seattle, right? And then think 60 miles north of Seattle. It's a beautiful country. I've actually been over this bridge a couple of times. So the Washington State Department of Transportation is investigating, and the NTSB is on the scene. They're trying to figure this out. You had people, cars, the picture is scary. I mean, you see people floating, and you see this bridge like a cage on top of them. Whew. And I'm a kid who grew up near some really big bridges. Since I grew up in two areas as a really young toddler, we were in New York. And think of the bridges that you have connecting New York and New Jersey and going back and forth there. And then Philadelphia, the Walt Whitman Bridge, the Commodore Barry was one we used sometimes, and then the Ben Franklin Bridge, and they were huge, massive spans. That bridge goes down, and, you know, you got some pandemonium. It brings up that question again of bridges and reinforcement. How safe are we in this country? And remember, there was a crazy amount of bridges that needed some... you know, reinforcement. If you remember the accidents that happened, Nathan, you can help me with this. Remember the bridge accident that happened in Minnesota? It was the, 2007. And it was, the school bus went down. All kinds of people were part of that freak bridge accident. And it started the conversation about, geez, I wonder how many of our bridges are in this condition, how many of them are old, how many need to be reinforced. And then you have, sometimes you have the strange thing of, you know, the you have the strange thing of people where they, you have cars that somehow knock another car off into the toll booth. I actually saw that. I don't know why I'm bringing this up because I'm thinking of these bridges, but I had that happen to me at the Verrazano Bridge. It was scary. I'm thinking, I'm not paying attention. I'm just driving. I'm paying attention to the road. And then, poof, there's a car that somehow goes across in this giant bridge, and it's right there practically inside the toll booth. But now this isn't flying off the bridge, and this isn't the bridge going down, but this bridge in in Washington, looking at the pictures and thinking of that in your head is, ooh, that is scary. But who's paying for the reinforcement of all the bridges across the United States when they're 50, 60, 70, how many years old? Yeah, you know. And some of those bridges, by the way, had to be reinforced in New York because of Superstorm Sandy. All right, reinforcements. Jody Arias, she must have some kind of death angel flying around her that pulled her back from the pit of hell, which is, I'm sorry, where this woman deserves to go. What she did to Travis Alexander, her boyfriend, I can't imagine if you were the mother of this guy. He just hacked her. She just hacked him to pieces. You know, stabbed him like almost 30 times, slit his neck, then shot him in the face. I mean, crazy. So she gets convicted of that. And, I mean, emotions are all over this courtroom. They are flying around like frisbees. So now you're in the penalty phase. And the penalty phase is, yeah, you could get death. You have the sister of Alexander just sobbing. I mean, almost where you couldn't hear what the jury was saying or what the jury coming back and handing the note and the judge getting it. And the judge said, at the end of this, ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of the participants in this trial, I'm going to read verbatim what he said. I want to thank you for your extraordinary service to this community. This is not your typical trial. You were asked to perform very difficult responsibilities. There was an alternate juror and a juror on the panel. They just burst into hysterics, too, while it's being read. The jury goes out of the courtroom. One juror said, I'm sorry, to the family. The jurors struggled. They debated death, giving her the death penalty for 13 hours, or what they were going to do, you know, life in prison. They didn't come up with anything. So this is very strange. It took them, earlier in the month, less than 2 hours to decide that she was exceptionally cruel when she stabbed the boyfriend 29 times. I just said this already. Slit his neck from ear to ear and shot him in the face. Think they had an open casket for him? No. So she is guilty of first-degree murder on May 8th, and now for the sentencing, I think that some jurors, they just cannot go to the death penalty. And once you make it about that, then that throws a monkey wrench into the works here. And she pleaded with the jurors to spare her life earlier in the week. And she said she would, you know, she was just throwing herself on their mercy, saying she would dedicate her time in prison to performing acts of, you know, charity. And she would, from you know, her jail cell, and she would teach people to read or speak Spanish or have a book club or whatever nonsense she was spewing out. And, you know, this is, to me, I think this was a no-brainer, but when you are the prosecutor, there is always that risk that you go for too much. And in this case, they must have gone for too much. And what do you think, ladies and gentlemen? I know you're out there. Rattle some cages. 855-266-5283.
Prepared against possible food shortages and economic collapse is not complicated. Just remember two words, disaster, stuff. Add .com after those two words and you've got just one site for all your preparedness needs. DisasterStuff.com prepares your family against food shortages with Linden Farms freeze-dried foods in buckets or Gourmet Reserves freeze-dried food in number 10 cans, both with free shipping. Purify and rid your water of contaminants with a Big Berkey or other Berkey system and get free shipping plus a water level spigot or fluoride filter at cost, and protect your radios and other electronics from EMPs with our EMP Faraday bags starting at just $5.90. When the food shortages and economic instability happens, be ready with all your stuff from DisasterStuff.com. Just remember two words, DisasterStuff.com. Freedom through self-reliance and personal responsibility.
Friends, this is Alex Jones for MidasResources.com. For more than 15 years, I have exclusively used Midas Resources for all my precious metal needs. Whether it's bullion or collectibles you're looking for, Midas Resources is simply the best. I own my gold as a hedge against inflation. This Federal Reserve fiat currency could go the way of the Deutschmark and the Weimar Republic anytime. In these historically dangerous times, it makes sense to physically hold gold and silver. Midas already has some of the best deals in the industry. But if you give them a call and mention the radio special, they will give you a list of the day's super specials. Midas brokers are standing by to answer all your questions at 800-686-2237. They also have a lot of informative free literature explaining the opportunities and risk of holding precious metals. They are ready to answer your questions at 800-686-2237. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy-free. Contains all natural and certified organic ingredients. Contains no preservatives or animal products. Supports a healthy digestive and immune system. Supports weight loss. Improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraGanix.com, Terraganics.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.
Coming up on the show, we're going to talk with Renee Sandler. She's a prosecutor from the New York area, who has plenty to say about the latest on this Trayvon Martin case that's coming up, meaning George Zimmerman, who is being tried for his murder. And I can tell you that it's going to be, sadly, the hottest ticket in town. People are talking about having friends line up and almost like getting concert tickets because they want to be there in the courtroom. And certainly it's going to be blown all over the place as far as the tube's concerned and media and all that kind of stuff. This case has been ongoing now for a while, and here we are in June. June 10th is when it starts. So it's all the pre-trial motions and battles that are happening. Some photos were released today of Trayvon Martin that clearly he's smoking, and it looks like he's smoking pot. So the prosecution wanted those photos in evidence. There was also, these were all from phones, from his phone. There was also a marijuana leaf and all that kind of stuff. So what Zimmerman's attorney is trying to say is that he was very familiar with guns. He was a marijuana user, and he had a problem with fighting, partially because some of the things that he was doing. The judge had a different take on that, but there is a door that could still be open. Marijuana use in general can come up during jury selection for sure, and that doesn't have to be X'd out. But here's the prosecution.
Any communications or evidence that Trayvon Martin had used marijuana in the past, we're asking the court to exclude that.
So they did exclude it, in fact. Then the defense argued that some of the evidence could prove crucial in backing up like the marijuana use, backing up Zimmerman's claim of self-defense, and there was the prosecution arguing. So the judge rules that it can't be included now at this point, but there still is that small window. Defense attorneys say toxicology tests show that he had enough THC, which we all know is the key juicing ingredient in marijuana, if you want to call it that, to show that he smoked the drug hours before the shooting. But now there's no mention of it in the opening statements because they wanted to use it in the opening statements. She's going to rule later on whether it's admissible after she hears the defense expert's testimony about the marijuana use. So they get an expert. They talk about it. What could it do to you? Could it make you angry? Could it make you want to fight? All that sort of stuff. And if the judge rules that it's admissible, then it will be part of the trial. It will be part of that, but it won't be allowed to be part of what the opening argument is when the prosecution and the defense set up their cases. So it is temporarily, anyway, a win for the prosecution. We're going to talk to Renee Sandler all about that, and also Jody Arias, and the fact that now a ton of money is going to be spent in Arizona in this penalty phase, the shortened Cliff Notes version of trying to decide whether she gets put to death or not, because you have to seat another jury, and you don't go through a whole five-month period, so those jurors don't get the benefit of that. But, in fact, you're spending a lot of money, and you're dragging this out even longer to try to come up with the verdict that the prosecution was hoping for, and that's death. But there's no guarantees that that's going to happen either. All right, sometimes on the show, as you know, we zig and zag in a couple of different directions. And one of the things I was trying to talk about at the very, very beginning we didn't get to is the fact that while you were off doing whatever you were doing in the afternoon, if you're a third shifter, you might have been crashed, you were eating breakfast, I don't know, or you were maybe winding down your day, depending on what you do or if you're retired or whatever. But what happened was outside of Baltimore, 15 cargo train with 15 cars derailing really shook things up. The photos of this look terrible. It looks like a movie scene. Now, we've had recently a couple movies where they had scenes where trains crashed, and it's a CSX freight train. And what happened was there was a trash truck. It looks like, anyway, there's a trash truck that had hit because the driver is in serious condition. So was that what caused the train to derail because they tried to slam on the brakes? There was chemicals in one car, so you had the hazmat people out. They say it was safe. They did evacuate a 20-block radius. Initially, it looked like that wasn't going to happen, but they did do that eventually. So you had black smoke filling the skies and question marks as to some of the specifics about it. What triggered the explosion? So that would be the thing. I mean, was it simply a brake thing, throwing on the brakes, trash truck in the way, that kind of thing? I mean, it's lucky that people weren't hurt when you think about a warehouse close to where a lot of people live is massively damaged by the explosion. In fact, the door, the giant door in the front of it just blows off. Just blows off. It doesn't smash into anyone or hit anyone's car or any of that kind of stuff. So it was pretty lucky that there weren't a lot of people that were killed because of what happened afterwards, or there weren't a lot of people that were injured in this one. The trash truck driver was, and there were people that saw cars on their sides. There were flames that went flying up where people felt like they could feel the heat. The ground shook. Some houses close by shook, and it sort of upset a lot of people. But the dozen train cars off the tracks and the one tanker car, the whole derailing thing, did not cause what could have been an absolute catastrophe. We've seen this before, where there's a big derailment and people are injured. The commuter train earlier in Maine, 70 people injured there. That flies off the tracks and causes all kinds of headaches. It was during the rush hour. But really, the concern was for the people, and that was nasty. There was another train from New York City that derailed during rush hour. and then it's hit by a passing train, and that causes 7 people to be injured. But the overpass is destroyed, and it's a major thoroughfare, and they say it's going to be a year to actually repair that. This was all during, you know, rush hour, same thing, same accident that we're talking about. So overall, crashes are down pretty much industry-wide, because they always talk about their record and how safe it is and all that. But the some of the cargo trains, the overall railroad accidents passenger-wise and stuff are down, but some of the cargo train stuff has been up a little bit. Derailments overall down 40%. It just seems like we're hearing about a bunch of them, right? Because, you know, now there's lots of tracks across the United States. It's funny when we're talking about things that are being hauled by train tracks, and people just, I guess because they think of freight flying and all of that, they don't realize that still we are a nation that is still made up of a whole bunch of railroads, especially when we're talking about cargo and moving cargo around. No doubt about that. A lot of food still goes that way. A lot of hazardous materials go that way. A lot of products goes that way. I mean, there is railroad all over the place, all over this country. Google it, and you'll see how many thousands and thousands of tracks there are, passenger, cargo, you know, that kind of stuff. Coming up on the backside of this, many of you emailed me about the George Zimmerman case, which I brought up, the evidence on Trayvon Martin and whether or not it would be admissible. A few of you had something to say about that. Also, the latest on the scandals and a couple of other in-between takes on immigration. A bunch of you really furious about what's happening as far as the discussion on immigration. But trust me, it has not gone anywhere yet. It still has a bunch of hurdles to get over, and it doesn't look like it's moving in a fast direction. Even though it went through one committee, still has to have full votes, still has to go through the House, and then ultimately it would have to go up the flagpole, and it's not close to that yet at this point, because there's amendments to be marked up and dealt with on the House side, and the discussion, the debate on the full Senate side. So stay with us.
Did you know that 50% of heart attacks are brought on by infections? Did you know that hospitals are breeding grounds for antibiotic-resistant bugs like MRSA? The environment is infected with parasites, and the mild winter means ticks with Lyme disease, mosquitoes with West Nile virus, and cold and flu viruses will be on the rise. Protect yourself with nature's natural antiparasitic, antiviral, antifungal, antibiotic, Allicin, the heart of garlic. Get concentrated protection with Alli-C and Alli-Ban from Affinity Health Products. One capsule of Alli-C equals 40 cloves of garlic or 100 garlic pills with no garlic breath. Alli-Ban has Allicin in spray, liquid, and cream forms with 3 times more strength than leading brands and cost less. Go to Alli-C.com, spelled Alli-C.com, or call 855-ALLISON. That's 855-255-4246. That's 855-255-4246. Protect yourself with Alli-C and Alli-Ban from Affinity Health Products at Alli-C.com.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Do you owe the IRS money that you can't pay? Are tax liens and levies ruining your life? Are you tired of being afraid just to go to the mailbox? If this describes you, then Dan Pilla can help.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been solving tax problems for more than 30 years. In fact, I wrote the book that made it possible to negotiate settlements with the IRS, and I've helped thousands of people do exactly that. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. New changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever before eliminate their debts once and for all. There's no need for you to suffer another day with IRS debt. Call 800-346-6829. I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
Virtually anyone can hack your cell phone and track your calls, your texts, your emails, your every movement, but only if they can detect a signal. Stay one step ahead of hackers and Big Brother with a Blockit Pocket, a custom-made pocket infused with pure silver that creates a complete Faraday enclosure for your cell phone. For free shipping to the Lower 48, visit BlockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. BlockitPocket.com. Enhancing health and privacy.
We the People grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
It's time to get real.
It's time to prepare.
Economic collapse.
Social unrest.
Natural disasters.
Government takeover.
UN takeover.
Are you ready?
Ready?
Ready? Get ready at the Social Prepper Trade Show in Dalton, Georgia.
June 6th, 7th, and 8th.
3 massive days to learn self-reliance and emergency preparedness. Exhibitors ranging from survival, solar, power, food, protection, guns, ammo, disaster preparation products, hunting, and much more. Seminars by Dr. Wallach, Robert Henry, Raymond Blake Hogshead, Trish Deer, Sandy Hall, Rick Austin, Survivor Jane, and more of our nation's experts on survival and preparedness.
Don't miss the Social Prepper Trade Show.
June 6th through 8th, Dalton, Georgia. For discount tickets, prize raffle, and info, go to socialprepper.com.
Enter code GCN for 50% online ticket discount purchase.
The Social Prepper Trade Show.
Presented in part by GCN.
To see you when I wake up is a gift I didn't think could be real. To know that you feel the same as I do is a threefold.
Okay, if you want to vent to me, Kate Delaney, what's the best way to do that besides dialing the digits 855-266-5283? You can shoot me an email at americatonight.net. Many of you take me up on that because I say it all the time, but it's really true. You just blow up the email. You know, it has this little red dot that shows when it goes all the way across and it's full. So without further ado, let's check the mail.
You have mail, mistress.
Bob C. says, I think the best way to deal with the immigration problem is to issue illegal immigrants to each and every registered Democrat. They will keep them for 10 years. They will provide their charges with all their needs, housing, education, etc. At the end of 10 years, they can then decide if their charges are worthy of United States citizenship. Bob, I love the sarcasm. I got it. I know what you're talking about, saying that, you know, who is paying for what's happening in our municipalities, towns, suburbs, etc., when you're overrun with the burden of paying the price for people who are in the country illegally. I always give this example because to me it's the most brilliant example. Parkland Hospital in Dallas, Texas. A lot of illegals come in, need treatment, are in car accidents, things happen. The hospital has paid, and who do they pass that on to? Yes, all of us, the insured, are paying for that. In fact, all of you listening to me in the United States of America, not the ones outside of the United States, hi to our listeners in Japan and the UK and in South America and in Australia, but the people in the States, you're all paying at least $1,000. I have triple-checked this. It is true. There is $1,000 that you pay in your insurance because of the burden of illegal treatment, treating illegals in hospitals and with medicine and all that kind of stuff. the Parkland Hospital was so overrun with the problem and they were jacking up the price of everything that they sent a $10 million bill to Mexico and said, this is for your people that are here. Will you please pay this if they continue to come over? Because we can't afford to pay the tab any longer. They were trying to make a point that this is too cumbersome. And it still is very cumbersome, and that's what obviously the listener was talking about. Immigration now at this point, this whole idea of immigration reform, pathway to citizenship, there still is a long way to go for any kind of bipartisan cooperation because there were so many amendments that they had to go through in the first place to get through the first hurdle. You know, maybe it does become a reality, but are we going to like that reality? What's the final bill going to look like that could possibly become a law? That's what I would worry about. And at this point, it's not the reality. It's not the reality because it's just gone over one. It's like you're going down a run. Think of this. You're skiing. You're going down a run. There's all this conversation as you're going up on the lift. The lift seems to take forever. That would be immigration. And then you get to the top. You go down. You hit one mogul. And suddenly you're frozen in time. So they've hit one mogul and they've gotten over it. A small vote in that little gang of eight deciding, okay, what are we going to do? Push that a little bit further. Have the vote from the committee, it kicks it out, and then we see what the rest of the Senate says. We see what the House votes as well to whether to make the immigration reform bill move farther along. All right, how about this? This is a good one. This is from Dennis McMahon, our resident attorney in Vermont, WVMT. We love that station, 620 up there. Thanks for carrying America tonight. They've carried it from the beginning. He says, I opened up my Twitter page on my BlackBerry today, and it says, Pope Francis followed you. The Pope is on Twitter, so I guess they decided to follow him. You know, somebody randomly is hitting people or following people, I suppose. But you would think that the Pope, I'd have to go look at this, you would think the Pope wouldn't follow that many people because he would have a lot of followers. Not necessarily follow a lot of people. I think that's pretty interesting. Here's one from Chuck in Florida. Katie Kate, love your show. Listening to it in Arcadia. Ah, that's our new affiliate there. Bravo. And he says, did you realize, I know you like space. I heard you say something about being kind of a little bit of a space freak. Did you know that the space shuttle Atlantis, which left maybe 2 years ago and ended and mothballed the shuttle program. Now we are stuck with a ghost town in some areas, and we actually have our shuttle pads up for lease. You know, it's funny that you sent me that note because I in the beginning of the show, I was looking at headlines, and that was one of the little things I saw somewhere. And I thought, well, that's odd. Lease. Who's leasing the shuttle pads at NASA? Who's going to do that? They have two launch pads, right, at Kennedy Space Center, and that was built in the 60s. Then they modified it, I want to say, because of then the shuttle program and everything else. They changed some of that. So there's got to be lots of these shuttle spots that are set up that they can't use. So maybe they had a meeting and they're thinking, what can we do? How can we reduce the amount of square footage we have here? So that's what I think they're trying to do. And maybe they'll just lease it. That's the idea. They'd lease it to commercial users, whoever it might be. Then they would have that address of NASA. That's kind of crazy. You know, it would be space companies, probably like SpaceX, because they have a launch pad adjacent to Cape Canaveral, I'm sure, because they have those Falcon rockets, and they've got a second launch site in California, and they're looking for one more, so maybe NASA would lease it to them. I wonder what a lease would cost for shuttle space, the shuttle launch pad, because those launch pads, the space was pretty darn big, I'd have to say. Anything that lends itself to the economy along that whole space coast would be good because a lot of people were really down and out after that. That's when restaurants, you know, when you you're relying on NASA and you have so many people that are working there, and then all of a sudden the whole thing is cut out, that really dumped on the people in that area who were relying on that business, because that was their bread and butter. They were doing great. Restaurants at some of the mom-and-pop stores, and that's all gone since really there's not much coming out of there. All right, let's move on to this one. This comes to us from Big Bob. I have a problem with somebody putting these big or small in front of their name. It's kind of interesting, isn't it? All right, so Big Bob says, wow, Zimmerman is getting hosed, Kate, already. Why they wouldn't allow those marijuana pics of Trayvon Martin, I have no idea. I think that's pretty key to his state of mind when the confrontation happened between Martin and George Zimmerman. I would say if I were the defense, I would be concerned about that. What do you think? Well, I think the defense is going to push, once they have their expert, to still be able to use it. They just can't use it in the opening statement. So if I'm the lawyer, I'm trying to set up Zimmerman, and I say, hey, he was confronted by an aggressive kid who was stoned out of his mind or whatever. However he would word it, he can't use that little hook of information. He could use it during the courtroom phase, the evidence and whatnot. It hasn't been ruled inadmissible there. So if he can get an expert to prove that it altered his state or could alter his state or whatever, then that might bubble back up. And I bet you it will, because if you're the defense, this is the crux of your case. The, you know, stand your ground law and why and was he hostile and whatever. That's got to be really the backbone of this whole thing, I would think. So the judge telling the prosecution, you know, that ruling that she's barring the defense from introducing some information about him, it's only during that the opening phase. That can certainly turn around, and if the defense does a good job, they'll probably get that to turn around. All right, this one, last one here, comes to us from Travis, who says, Kate, did you happen to see the Papa John thing where the delivery man used a whole bunch of racial slurs as he was complaining to another employee about the tips he gets from African Americans? Unfortunately, he butt dialed and that went out. It was left on the man's voicemail, a customer, and of course that got out after that. Well, of course it did. See, that's the danger of the iPhone, calling people randomly. I don't know how many of you have had that. And what he said was bad. He said, he used the dreaded N-word several times and said that, you know, they give you, you know, that they don't give you any money there. And he went on, laughing and joking, and said that what the receipt was and what the tip was. And it was like a 4-minute rambling message. So the customer posted a YouTube video of the voicemail message, which featured the delivery man using the slurs, complaining to a fellow employee. So now the CEO of Papa John's has come out and apologized. So, yeah, I did check out that story, and it's just a reminder to be careful with the iPhone. It was crazy. What an idiot for doing that. And he got pinched because of it. Hang with us, Renee Sandler, next. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis.
but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeSig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeSig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeSig.com. And LeSig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeSig.com, spelled LeCig.com. LeSig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
If you're going to have a bunker, why not have an ultimate bunker? In case of pandemic outbreak, civil unrest, biological or nuclear fallout, or EMP attacks, stay safe in your own ultimate bunker, built for lasting security for any need or budget. Manufactured in Salt Lake City, Utah, each ultimate bunker includes free food storage and all the comforts of home. Learn more at ultimatebunker.com. That's ultimatebunker.com. Or call 801-661-3900. Ultimate Bunker. You can't do better than the ultimate.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Sadler, she's been on CNN, 60 Minutes, MSNBC. If we went through her resume and all the places she appeared, we'd eat up the whole interview. But she's a criminal defense attorney and former prosecutor. Renee, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back.
All right, I'll tell you what really got a lot of reaction on this show, and I don't think you're going to be surprised by this, but it's all the stuff that happened leading up to the verdict with Jody Arias, and then also this decision now on life and death and what's happened there, and the fact that I call it you get an abridged version with this new jury because they don't go through that whole five-month period. But explain that. Why is that? So they don't, the jury is deadlocked on whether Jody Arias should be sentenced to death for the murder of her ex-boyfriend. So then now you have this sort of shortcut version of deciding the penalty phase. I don't understand.
Well, Arizona in and of itself just has some interesting laws, as we saw during this trial. The jury gets to ask questions. This issue of a new jury coming in to be impaneled when the former jury, the jury that sat through all the testimony and determined her guilt, was unsuccessful, or there was a mistrial as to the penalty. So brand new, you know, most states don't follow this path. So brand new jury comes in, and they are impaneled to hear the penalty only, and it's going to be a mini trial. So many, many appellate issues here as to, you know, what will this jury hear? The other jury had the benefit of hearing an entire trial. What will go before this jury? It's pretty fascinating. They will decide life or death. If they cannot decide, then it defaults to life.
So it defaults to life. That makes a big difference. Do you think you were a prosecutor. Did the prosecutor overreach here?
Well, I think a prosecutor, but it's going to be hard for this prosecutor, let me say that, it really has to evaluate a number of factors. Number one, putting a victim's family back through this process for months and months and months and months. Even if Jody Arias gets a death verdict here, a death sentence, you're talking years and years of appeal. So does a prosecutor, does the state of Arizona, are they invested in seeing that this woman is put to death? Or is life without the possibility of parole really what they ultimately should seek here? Millions of dollars have been spent. Millions more will be spent. And that prosecutor has to determine whether or not death is really the appropriate punishment here in light of all of that.
Yeah. It'd be fascinating to watch to see what happens now in the end and what that jury decides. But I agree with you just from a layman's perspective, a talk show host, that, boy, dragging the family through that is tough. Because you could see, too, this family was so emotional. Of course, they were distraught. It was a son. It was a brother. And it was rough.
Oh, the pain on their faces. It was gut-wrenching. If you looked at the defense attorneys, they could not make eye contact. It's a very, very, very difficult thing to watch. And again, to put them through months and months again of this horrific facts of this case, I think is really something the prosecutor needs to take a look at.
Yeah. Let's talk about something completely different, although just as much headline grabbing, and it'll churn up again. The George Zimmerman case, the prosecution won a couple of big things here pre-trial, and one of them was about marijuana. This hearing 2 weeks before the start of the trial, the judge, who's Deborah Nelson, as you know, really handed them a couple of big wins. And one, she barred the defense from introducing the info about Martin that included his marijuana habits. You're not surprised by that, are you?
No, I think first of all, the judge handed a number of blows to the defense today with regard to text messages, with regard to marijuana use, and just what the defense was trying to do was seek introduction of evidence that showed really a propensity for Trayvon Martin to be violent or to support their theory that he was the initial aggressor. Now, that will be reviewed again during trial if the defense generates facts that support self-defense. So that issue is not over. They will also have considered again before the judge whether or not there is scientific support for the use of an expert about marijuana usage. And what I say that is there is a study that was cited in court today about the use of marijuana near an event causing a person to be hostile or violent. So depending on how the prosecution puts their case in, if they step one foot off the line, all of this evidence is going to be fair game.
Ooh, that's big. Thanks for that nugget. Here's another thing. The defense attorney's raising questions about this analysis that's suggesting that Martin could be heard in the background, these horrid screams of a 911 call just before the shooting. So now that's voice identification, and that's pretty interesting. And the voice ID experts that were hired, if you will, by the prosecution say they don't know whose voice it is, and there isn't enough sound to make a conclusive determination. You know, who loses in this one, depending on what happens with this piece of evidence, maybe?
I think the state loses on this issue, and I think the expert needs a couple more weeks to finish his analysis. But there's an additional standard that's going to be difficult here, and that is whether or not any analysis, given the poor quality of this communication, meets the scientific reliability standard. And that's what the judge was focused on today, whether or not, even if it was able to be identified, whether or not it was scientific enough and accepted by the courts and reliable to be considered. So I think the state loses there because the state very much wants a jury to believe that that was Trayvon Martin in the background pleading for his life.
Yeah. The other interesting side note to this, and I wonder how this all plays into it, and it certainly has been the sidebar conversation, is the stand your ground a law in Florida. Do you think that this helps? This is really going to help George Zimmerman and help his defense team, or no?
I think that was an absolute critical tactical strategy that this defense employed to forego the Stand Your Ground hearing and simply rely on a self-defense strategy for this case. And, you know, those decisions are made with closed doors, with things that none of us are ever privy to knowing or hearing. But having been in those tense discussions, I mean, this is a strategy that they've employed. These are good lawyers, smart lawyers. They are diligent and working hard and no stone unturned. And you can see that from today and what they have. They had tapes of Trayvon Martin fighting and being a referee of a fight. I mean, they've really done their homework. So I have to defer to the defense on that, but interesting call for them to make.
Yeah. We're speaking with Renee Sandler, criminal defense attorney, former prosecutor. And Renee, of all the, you know, now with social media and as being a former prosecutor, boy, this really changes the game. But how much does it change the game when we're talking about criminal defense? I would imagine just as much as some of the other things out there.
It changes the game drastically. You know, I feel like I'm dating myself here by saying that when I was a prosecutor almost 20 years ago for several years, we didn't even have email. So these prosecutors today that are prosecuting cases and for me defending them, I mean, every single case has text messages and email communications and Facebook postings and social media in various degrees. And so the volume of just information for attorneys to sift through and understand in a case, it can be overwhelming at times. So these trials often are mini trials within bigger trials just about the reliability and admissibility of this kind of electronic evidence. So it changes the game drastically.
When you have a client, once, you know, you go through all the evidence and go through the rigmarole that you have to pre-trial, do you tell them, listen, don't be tweeting or don't go on Facebook to say how we're doing?
Well,
I'm in court right now and I'm feeling okay.
You try your absolute best to manage your client, but as we just saw recently with the Joe Yarius media blitz after the verdict, it's not always possible to manage your client. And nowadays, we're all attached to our phones, our computers, our iPads. And it's really hard to control a client and to just impress upon them how difficult their case will be if they continue to tweet and Facebook. It can be very, very problematic.
Yeah, that's what I would think, too. Interesting. Renee, always a pleasure to have you on the show. Thanks so much for stopping by. We appreciate
it. Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks. You have a good night.
George Washington said, "Government is not reason, it is not eloquence, it is force, like fire. It is a dangerous servant and a fearful master." America's government is no longer the servant of the people and the protector of our liberty, but has become that fearful master. We the people must understand the nature of this government gone awry if we are to be successful in saving our country. America is being deliberately destroyed by a cabal of international gangsters so that she can be forced into subjugation to a one-world government. The God-given, unalienable rights of the Declaration of Independence are in jeopardy. We must not let them be stolen by ambitious and evil men. Utopia Silver Supplements believes it is our God-given right to make our own health care decisions however we deem best. If we can help you with your supplement needs and better health, then help us win this health freedom battle. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's utopiasilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. Again, 888-213-4338.